What up, what up, what up, y'all? Welcome to VXG, Vision and Grind, the one and only podcast that merges fitness, mindset, lifestyle, and culture. And you know who it is, you're rocking with your host, the one and only Mr. Double Love. So we're getting very, very close to wrapping up season one, y'all. Can you believe it? We've been rocking together for 40 episodes the entire year of 2023. It's been an amazing ride, and whether this is your first time listening or you've been tapping in religiously since the beginning of this podcast, I thank you so very, very much for locking in with me and just riding this vibe. I have grown so much in the last year, and it's just been an amazing journey, and I'm glad I could document it and share this stuff with you. So as we get close to, you know, putting a bow on season number one, and to be honest, I didn't really have at the beginning of this, like a set amount of episodes I wanted to do for each season. But VXG, Vision and Grind, we are going through a rebrand. And in season two, we're going to be bringing a whole new energy to this podcast. So I thank you so, so much for being a part of this. Today's episode is actually a podcast interview that I did for the Shift Method podcast. I want to say this was back in May of this year. So that's with Coach Damien out here in Florida. And it was a cool interview. You know, we got to sit down and we chopped it up for a long time. So I actually broke this up into two parts. Today, you're going to get both parts dropping back to back. So I chopped them into little digestible pieces so that you don't have to sit through a complete hour of the interview. You can lock in with this episode and then just go directly into the next one when you're ready. So with that being said, thank you for tapping in. This is my interview with Coach Damien of the Shift Method, and this is my visit on the Shift Method podcast.
And today I got with me a fellow trainer that works next to me down at Johnny O's Gymnasium. And I think it's always important to kind of highlight our local coaches and coaches abroad, because, you know, we got to prop each other up. We got to support one another. And so I just wanted to take the time to learn a little bit more selfishly for myself as well, to learn about my man, Kurt Washington. Kurt, can you go ahead and introduce yourself to the podcast listeners?
What up, what up, what up? Yeah, my name is Curtis Washington. I go by the name of Double Up. I'm a fat loss and body recomposition specialist out of South Florida. And yeah, I'm glad to be here, man. Thank you, Coach Damien.
This is
exciting.
Yeah. Yes. And emphasis on the body recomp, man. This man has been put in the work. He always works. I mean, let me rephrase, right? This man benching a lot all the time, but I've definitely noticed in the last couple of months, man, you've been getting shredded, dude, looking good.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that, man. And I've really dialed in this process, and I've obsessively been staying on point with it. And this is why that I put the emphasis on body recomp, because I believe in it. I know it works. And that's pretty much everybody's goal when you think about it. Like,
yeah,
you know, we all talk about we want to be in shape, but what is in shape really? I always try to simplify things. In shape is a reduction in body fat and an increase in lean muscle. So you can love what you see in the mirror.
Absolutely. And I always like pointing that out because, you know, for my listeners here, they know I'm a big focus on, you know, the mental side of wellness, which kind of just comes with it naturally when you start working out and respecting your body. But I always tell people there's nothing wrong with wanting to look good, and whatever that means for you, right? For some people, if you want to, you know, look good for the summer, as long as you have a healthy relationship with how you look and how you are with clothes, like, by all means, there's nothing wrong with wanting to look good. And so having a coach who can help you get to those goals, help you get to that body or that figure that you want, is an awesome thing to look for.
Absolutely, man. I actually, one of my like things is I'm very anti weight loss as a,
I saw you post about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's that mentality of like, I need to lose weight. Like it causes people to do different things than they would if it's like, my goal is to just be overall healthy, or my goal is to look better. Like if your goal is to look better, follow XYZ. If your goal is to feel better, follow ABC. But when we just fixate on the scale, it turns into a like, okay, let me just starve myself. Like, no. The scale is just a metric that we use to, you know, get to the bigger picture. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Whenever I have clients struggling with the scale, because like you said, it's a tool, and for some clients it's beneficial, but I'm sure you can relate. I've had those clients where They want to use the scale, but it's self-sabotaging. And so I know if they get a quote unquote bad number, it's going to derail their progress. I usually have this conversation and it takes people back and in a positive way where I'm like, let's say the number on the scale went up 100 pounds, but you looked exactly the way that was beneficial for you and put you in a healthy place. Would you care what the scale said? And every single time I ask it, they say, no, I wouldn't care about the number if I looked and felt the way I wanted to. Mm-hmm. And so I say, so then why do you care about the scale? Right. And obviously go into the science of it, you know, the correlation with body weight over time. But at the end of the day, like you say, it is a recomposition issue, not a number metric of gravity pushing on your body issue on this planet.
Exactly. And look, we've actually been conditioned to like isolate weight loss as like the end all be all in fitness. And like when you see somebody that you haven't seen in a while, like if you saw me a year ago and then you see me now, what's the first thing you're going to ask me? Did you lose weight? Like I may or may not have.
Right.
In this case, I did. But, you know, that's just what we associate with health is like a reduction in weight. And I see it all the time. Like when somebody comes to me with a fitness goal, I ask you, what's your fitness goal? And they'd be like, I want to lose 20 pounds. I'm like, okay, well, that's great. I love that you have a fitness goal, but what's going to happen when you lose 20 pounds? What does losing 20 pounds actually mean for you? And it's like, well, I'm going to have a slimmer midsection. I'm going to look better. I'm going to feel better. I'm going to have more energy. So it's like, okay, well, let's just focus on that. Why don't we just focus on that? And if you happen to lose 20 pounds along the way, great. But just based on this conversation we're having, this first conversation, I don't even know if you have 20 pounds to lose.
That is so true, Kurt. I always tell my young coach, I do an ACE personal training prep course, so helping young coaches to go take their ACE exam and get certified. Yeah. And when we get to that weight loss section, I always use that example, which I love, is like your client telling you their goal, it might be the first time they ever expressed to someone what they wanted. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be awkward. They're going to stumble. And I say, what if you get a client who, you know, body composition aside, you just look at them and they're, you know, 5'6", they're 100 pounds soaking wet. And they're like, I want to lose 30 pounds. Like, what do you say to that client? You just say, oh yeah, sure. You want to lose weight? Let's do it. It's like, no, you have to dive into the why behind that. Right. And then maybe they didn't even mean lose weight. Maybe they meant, oh, I want to, you know, develop my physique. Okay. Yeah. That is a completely different thing than losing 30 pounds when you don't have a pound to lose on your body. You have to dive into the psychology of why do you think you need to lose weight? Who put this idea in your head? Is this something from societal standards that you feel like a number that's double digits versus triple digits is like valuable to you? So I really like that you dive into that why around like the weight loss
and then
shifting the goal a little bit.
Yeah. And that's the thing is like, don't get me wrong. Like if you are, let's say 30 years old, 5'6", 350 pounds, weight loss is absolutely in your future.
Of course.
Let's do that. And a thing to keep in mind is like with my protocols, with functional strength training, with a lot of the compound lifts, like if you can't get a full range of motion, you're not going to get the most out of that movement. Mm-hmm. In fact, you might even injure yourself. And if you're carrying excess body weight, like body fat, you know, we're going to talk about what kind of weight that is, but it's going to hinder your movement. You're not,
absolutely.
You know, if you have a stomach and you're not able to get a full range of motion. So yeah, there's an appropriate time to focus on weight loss. Like let's just get you to a respectable body weight. And then we can talk about doing these other things. But like you said, when somebody comes to you and they're clear in your mind, you're like, okay, well, you're in decent shape. And they're like, I want to lose 30 pounds. Like where?
Yeah.
where are you going to lose that from? Cause you know, like, my whole thing is mass versus gravity. That's what the scale is. At a certain point, it's not just going to be body fat that you're losing.
Right.
So when you start to do things that are sabotaging your well-being, like under eating severely or doing excessive cardio, just because in your mind, it's like the more I sweat, the less I eat, the skinnier I'll be.
Yeah.
And that's true. But skinny has a lot of stuff that comes with it when you force yourself into that body type. So
absolutely.
We as professionals have to be very careful. Like you want to help a person get to their goal. You want to make them happy. Right. But you also have to educate. We also have to be very deliberate with the things that we say.
Yes.
You know, I really the industry is not regulated. You just got to get a certification and then you can do whatever.
Yep.
Right. And there's people online that will tell you you can lose 30 pounds in 90 days. And it's like, man, that is such a broad net to cast. And it's, yep. and it's just, a, I know it's a marketing tool. It's a selling point, but like the person who wants to lose 30 pounds in 90 days and might not have it to lose is setting themselves up for disappointment. Yep. And if they join your program and they don't get that, then it's going to make them look at every one of us differently. Like, you guys are a bunch of swindlers. You're just blowing smoke up. Can I cuss on here?
Yes, know. Absolutely. Yeah, man. Yeah, you can okay. say whatever the hell you want.
Sorry to tell you in the beginning.
Yeah, go ahead.
But that's the thing. Like, so that's why I'm so deliberate with the content that I put out, is I want to make sure, like, okay, first of all, like, it's what you want is pretty simple. So don't let like all of this extra shit online complicate it. But at the same time, let's define what it is that you want. And nine yes. times out of 10, it's an improvement in their physique. But coming along with that, you know, I love the shift method, because that's what I say. It's like, we got to make lifestyle shifts. We have to shift your perspective on fitness.
Yes.
You've got to make shifts in your lifestyle, shifts in how you recover, shifts in how you like, it's all just whatever's not working for you right now. We've got to make that shift. And my biggest thing, it starts with your mindset when you approach this. This is not yes. a chore. This is not a phase. Like, you're going to turn this into who you are.
And absolutely.
It's step by step. That's just the mentality that I bring to it. And I just want to see people improve themselves.
100%.
Chasing weight loss, ain't it?
Yeah. And I really appreciate you recognizing that is why I call it the shift method. You know, a shift by definition is a gradual or incremental change over time. In the fitness industry, gradual, incremental, slow, steady is not sexy. And so exactly. it doesn't sell. And so my mission is to find ways that make fitness, wellness, mindfulness, engaging, fun, realistic, but mm-hmm. done in a scientific and healthy manner, right? And so the method in which you do that, well, working with me, is that's why I call it the shift method. And you're right, yeah. man. Like, these people, you know, I don't blame people's hesitation. You know, as fitness, in my podcast with Teddy a couple of weeks ago, a guy who owns a fitness app called Rebuild Fitness, we were talking for a good point of time of like, as fitness professionals, we argue over like such trivial little things. And it's like, how can we expect the public to trust us and be able to like get concrete information when you got quacks online saying like, yeah, lose 20 pounds in 2 weeks and that's healthy. And it's like, what is yeah. going on? We're failing, man.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, we have to remember, what are we in this for? Like, I don't want to look cool for a bunch of other fitness professionals. Like, no. I love you guys, but whatever. Like, it's about making change in people.
That's right. The service of others.
Exactly. And so I'm not sitting up here trying to look smart. I'm not sitting up here trying to do anything more than to give you the path of least resistance to the thing that you want. And any credible fitness professional will agree, like, that's the goal at the end of the day.
Yes, absolutely.
And I learned this a long time ago. Like, we really put our attention on the goal, but it's not so important how we get there. Like, no. you and I may have a similar approach to fitness, but we also have nuance and little things that you do differently that doesn't mean yours is any better than mine or mine is any better than
exactly.
yours. Exactly. And at the end of the day, it then becomes, okay, so the person who wants to achieve that goal, which one is your preference?
Absolutely.
If you prefer how Damien coaches and his approach to you, then I wish you guys nothing but the best. And, you know, it's not a knock on you for that. And that's something in the fitness industry I don't get. Have you seen these guys on YouTube that critique each other, and they make these long videos about other fitness coaches and other physique guys and the Liver King? And it's more like commentary than it is helpful. It's entertaining.
Yeah, I call it hate porn, basically, is what it is. It's
weird.
I try not to, I go back and forth on this one, man. It's such a good conversation where, like, there is a part of me that thinks there needs to be some work. It's how we do it that is, I think, maybe the distinction I make, where, like, people say outrageous things, and it's like, this information, people say words don't matter, words do matter. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, this information is actually like harmful to people's health, because you got people with PhDs and 20, you know, years of experience saying like the most outrageous, blasphemous thing. And it's like, someone needs to say like, this is wrong. Now, how you go about that, I think, is what matters. Right. You know, you have some people take the aggressive mentality right back at them. It's like, this guy's a fucking idiot. And like, he doesn't know what he's saying. He just blasts him. And like, that gets attention and maybe it does some good help, but then it creates this combative environment or industry.
Yeah.
What I like to do is like, you know, I'll get people who make like weird comments. Like I've been doing YouTube shorts now. And so I get a little bit more engagement on that channel. And they're just people who they're just weird sometimes with like their comments. And I'm like, hey, let me know your perspective. Why do you think that? Or why do you think this is dumb or whatever? And then more often than not, either they just don't comment back or they'll say, oh, actually, I understand your perspective. So I try to challenge, but in like a respectful and, you know, professional manner with my fellow professionals or the public. And I try not to demean because I know that just builds walls and people get hostile back at you.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you mentioned that. I am of the mindset that like there's a lot of anger in the comment section of anything. Like if you see any, especially like the more engaged fitness videos, there'll be like 500 comments and 300 of them are like aggressively attacking the person making them and they're arguing with other people in the comments. So I always look at it like this, like what purpose does that serve?
Right.
What purpose does that serve? Like, it, you know, you see somebody doing something with bad form and you go and you're like, you're a jack off. And it's like, no, you don't have to do that. You could either give them, you know, a helpful tip or just keep it moving. Like my stance with how I deliver with my brand is I'm gonna just make my noise over here.
Yep.
And when it becomes loud enough and when enough people are making noise with me, heads are going to turn.
Yep.
And I can't tell you how long that's going to take. A million eyeballs means you got to shake 10 million hands. So I'll just keep on doing it. But I just don't feel a personal need to attack somebody else, especially by name.
No.
Like, I don't like, have you seen that guy on TikTok who he'll see a video of somebody with like shitty gym behavior and then he'll like do a, what do they call it? A remix or whatever, where he'll
The stitch or whatever they do,
the stitch,
like
the duet
or whatever. Yeah.
And he'll be, you know, he'll take their video and then he'll give his perspective on how shitty their gym behavior is. I'm like, whoa, that's a bit much. He's very popular, but it's like, that's a bit much, man. Like I say to each their own, if I see somebody do something I disagree with, I'm going to then create a piece of content, not so much talking about the thing I disagree with, but putting emphasis on my perspective on that.
Yeah. And then if a conversation comes out of it, then hopefully it can be, you know, reciprocal. And even if y'all disagree, like that's okay. Like we can disagree and go about our lives without trying to be at each other's throats.
I agree, man. I seriously think like at the end of the day, if we set our trajectory on how can we help people?
Yeah.
And we just keep doing that. Like, it's just going to guide our behavior.
That should be the guiding overarching principle. And if ever we like argue with each other, if we come back to that, we can like, you know, have cooler heads prevail in that instance.
And it creates collaboration, man. Like, you know, if you see somebody who has a different perspective than you do and you have a meeting of the minds, it's either going to shift your perspective, shift their perspective, or create a new perspective.
Yeah.
Collectively, and all that does is just help the people who are in need of what we do even more.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Man, we're starting off good. I like this. This is a good conversation, brother. Appreciate it.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking, I love having a podcast because I just like hearing myself talk. But I get in the zone so much about fitness because it's a very, I get very passionate about this conversation. It's the one thing in life that I don't want to say I figured out, but that I have not stalled in my pursuit of more.
Yeah.
Like other things, it's like, I don't want to do this no more. I'm notorious for that, man. Like when I first got out of high school and stuff, I was like, I want to be a rapper. And I did that until I didn't anymore. And just like fizzled off. You know, I was wanting to be in radio, wanting to be an actor. Like there's a lot of stuff I wanted to do.
Now you're kind of in radio now, right?
Yeah.
In a sense.
It all comes full circle at the end of the day because I went to film school. So, you know, I didn't become an actor, but guess what? I know how to edit video. I know how to be in front of the camera, which is a huge part of my business. Like creating content, believe it or not, is just as lucrative for me as the actual service that I provide. And so it's just another stream of income. And the fact that I not only enjoy it, but I think I'm pretty damn good at it. You know what I'm saying? Because I put in that work at film school and then
you are
going to broadcasting school, getting in front of the mic and knowing how to just continue to deliver. One thing I've gotten really good at is I've cut out the ums and uhs and all that. Like, that was a huge thing before, but now I understand, like, it's a crutch, just like anything else, like our clients do. Is you notice, like, okay, you snack because it's a thing that you lean on when you feel a particular way. Yeah, that's with the ums and uhs. Well, yeah. Tangent aside, though, like, I'm glad to be in this industry. I'm glad that we're able to talk like this. And, you know, if nothing else, if we have absolutely nothing else in common personally, like, we have helping people as a foundation, as a middle ground, the world is better off.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Man. And yeah, I'll definitely be sure. Kurt will say it again at the end, but we'll be sure to link his Instagram. You guys should definitely check out his content. It is very high quality. I love the one with the mic where you just kind of like, let's have a talk here real quick.
Yeah.
You just kind of go into it, something, and like, you know, you got, you know, good cadence. It's very entertaining, you know, great topics that you cover. And so people, if y'all are looking for another fitness professional to find some like engaging content with, definitely recommend Kurt. But you kind of segued into this perfectly, man. So I listened to your first podcast, got to learn a little bit more about who you are. I know I see you most days during the week because we're both trained pretty early in the morning. Yeah. But kind of just want to let the people know, like, how you got into fitness personally. Like, what is your kind of like fitness origin story? I want to hear a little bit more about your background.
Yeah, man. So I'll try to keep it condensed and not give you the entire motion picture. man, so fitness is, my mom was a fitness instructor.
Okay.
In the 80s and in the 90s. And when I say fitness instructor, I mean like the leotard and the leg warmers. And,
yes,
and
yes.
And but she was very popular. This is in Southern California. She was very good at what she did.
Okay.
And I remember at a young age, because of the hustle and bustle of living in Los Angeles, like, I would have to come to her classes with her. And I would sit like in the back of the class and I'd see her teaching. She had cases full of, watch this, cassette tapes. You know,
yes.
She had cases of cassette tapes that she would make her mixes to. And I saw the whole thing and I saw how it just brought people together of, you know, men, women, gay, straight, black, white, whatever. Like, everyone was coming together because we all want to sweat and feel good. And then, you know, whatever you feel about me later on, us, whatever, but within this 45 minutes, like, we're all family and community. And I just, that just stuck with me, man. And then we left California, moved to Denver. And I this is like looking back at it, but I was just like in a rebellion mode. So I decided when we moved to Denver, I was like, I'm going to be a rapper. Like, that's what I want to do. And this is the time, No Limit Records, Cash Money and Tupac and like the late mid to late 90s. And I'm just like, I want to do that. I don't want to go to school. I don't do none of it. So I dropped out and pursued a music career. And I was one of the dudes that if I want to learn something, I'm going to learn it. I'm going to get in there. And it's the same mentality. That's why I feel like I'm such a good coach, is because if I want to learn something, I'm going to break it down step by step so it makes sense in my head. So that's what I did with music. But I also, you know, it was gangster rap. I did the music, and then I did the like outside of music stuff.
Where, okay.
You know, messing with drugs, doing gangster shit like that. And it eventually caught up to me. So like, fast forward to 2007, I got in trouble. Like, I was about to go to big boy jail. Like, 20 years I was facing for possession with intent to distribute. And I managed to get that plea bargain down to a 8 years in a halfway house. So I got sentenced in 2008 January, and I had to do 8 years in there. Well, that was the sentence. But when I was going to court thinking I was facing 20 years, my mentality was like, I'm not going to be nobody's bitch. I'm about to get in this gym. So I started working out, and it just became a focus of like, every day I'm going to go in here and work out. But what did I know? Bench press and pull ups and walk on a treadmill. Like, that's really all I did. I was nervous and scared about the other stuff, but I seen people bench press. That's what I did. Seen people bicep curl, like the simple shit. But as I was continuing to do it, I loved the way that I was feeling. And so, being in the halfway house, no smoking weed, no drinking, none of that stuff. So I had to keep a clear mind. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that kept me clear was going to the gym. So as I was doing my sentence, fast forward to like 2011, I met my now wife, and we went to high school together. but we actually connected like 10 years later, almost exactly 10 years later. And as we're our relationship's developing, she's like, you know, you go to the gym all the time. Why don't you make a career out of it? Because at that point, I had gone to broadcasting school. I had gone to film school. And then I was like, what was the last thing I did? I actually went to college. I went okay. to the University of Colorado at Denver with a major in mass communication, which is a pointless degree. But as you can see, my communication skills are pretty good because of that. I learned a lot that I could apply in life.
Yeah.
The degree is not so helpful. So in that time, I was just trying to figure out life. Like, what do I want to do? And she's like, well, you're working overnights at hotels right now. Why don't you, you know, make this gym thing a career? So I was like, cool. So this was, you know, 2012. I signed up for the NASM course and I opened the book and it was like looking at a Chinese phone book. I had no clue. And mind you, in college, high school, all of that science, I hated it. That was the worst subject for me. And so I got the books and the tests and everything in 2012. Tell me why it took me 2 years to complete that certification, because I was like, I can't do this. Like, this is too much. And then finally, I put my head down and I became a personal trainer. And I've always been an entrepreneur ever since the music stuff. Like, that's how, like, I've had jobs on and off just to make ends meet, put myself through college. But like, I've always been an entrepreneur. So I was like, I'm going to do this. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get into fitness. And at that point, I was watching Sean T. Insanity.
Sean T, let's go, yeah. baby.
And I was like, yo, like, I want to do that. I want to make programs. Because when I was doing Insanity, I was in the best shape, probably just as good a shape as I am right now. And I'm in the best shape of my life now because I was doing that 6 days a week. I was weight training. I was like, I'm going to be like Sean T. So I'm going to do the Insanity type deal. I'm going to have an online program. It's going to be dope. And cool. And yeah, that sounds good. But welcome to reality where yep. like Sean T didn't just flip a coin and decide he was going to do that and become successful. He put in work. He had a team behind him. There was a lot of things he had in place that I just didn't. So I ended up working at gyms because I needed to learn the business. Like, you can learn the anatomy. You can learn movement. You know what I'm saying? You can learn how to how bodies move. But the business of it, you got to get your hands dirty. So yeah. I ended up taking a job in there, and I've had some really horrible personal training gigs. Like, my very first one was at a gym. I don't even think it exists anymore. And I came in, they didn't have computers. So everything was written by hands. It was like old school, but the guy taught me so much about sales. He taught me so much about how to explain movement to people. Mm-hmm. And he also taught me humility, because as soon as everybody left the gym, he was like, grab that mop and hit the bathrooms and clean them toilets and clean it. I was like, whoa, I'm a personal trainer. This is not what personal trainers do. He's like, well, here, that's what we do. So I was like, cool. Okay. I learned from him. Time to move on. So I had said in my head, I'm going to work at the most upscale gym in Denver that I can. And I ended up, you know, bouncing from a couple of different gyms until I got to the best job I've ever had was at a gym in downtown Denver, and just the community and the people. It was upscale. So I was around people who are willing to spend a lot of money on like the memberships themselves were like $200 a month. And then people are coming in and buying personal training. So damn. I learned how to communicate with these type of people. I had a sales process, and I'm talking about a process that started from the moment we made eye contact and I shook your hands to you pulling out your credit card. Not even that doesn't even where it ends. It's you getting the results and you telling your friends. And it's like this whole process that I just looked at it like, like I said at the beginning, if I put my focus on getting you to where you want to be, if I make my focus helping to bridge the gap between what you're doing and what you're capable of doing, what's that worth to you? And it's worth whatever you're willing to pay.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And to me, I look at it as it's a business. So as I started to get deeper into this, I realized like, this is my purpose. This is what I'm here for. Like, this comes naturally to me. Just as natural as making music, just as natural as being in front of the camera, just as natural as me talking on the mic. Like, this is natural for me.
Yeah.
But this is what people will pay me for. the podcast and the music, I was doing it for free just because I enjoyed it. You know, this is something that, you know, are you familiar with the Ikigai?
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. It's like my mentor had me go through that, man, to help me put my life together.
Right, right. That's what fitness is for me. It's that center point between what I'm good at, what the world needs, what people are willing to pay me for, and what I enjoy doing. It's bam, right there in the middle. So I'm like,
that's so funny, man. That is how I decided to start this business from
doing that. Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy.
Yeah. And that's,
I'll be sure to link that, because I've had my mentor on before where we've talked about that, and I use that for a lot of my young students who come to me. Ikigai, everyone, you need to check this out. It's the, I don't remember off the top of my head, but it's a blending of a bunch of dimensions where you can help find a career and life purpose from these meshing or unity of different aspects of your life.
Yeah, exactly. And when I like, it's almost like the dart to the bullseye, like that is what you're here to be doing. And now it's just like, okay, I think a lot of people discover their passion, discover what they're good at, like discover their ikigai, but I don't believe that everybody pursues it. Because, you know, I'm a religious man, and I believe that God puts it in you, and you can embrace it or deny it. Like, it's completely up to you. Like, here's some people, and it comes to people differently. Like, sometimes something terrible has to happen in order for you to discover your purpose, because now you know that you're here to prevent that from happening in other people's lives. I'll tell you something. A lot of the people that I grew up with and did music with and did some of, like, they're not here anymore. I'll be 40 this year. I have one of my closest friends passed away about 7 years ago on Father's Day, and he was younger than me. He passed away in his sleep because he let himself go. He developed sleep apnea. He didn't have his thing on, and it broke my heart, man, to see that. I got a friend that's a year older than me. We were in middle school, high school together. He's like having seizures now, and he's like, and it's like the shit that you were doing at 18, 19, you can't do that anymore.
Damn.
You know, and it's like, that was another piece of this puzzle that came together, was like, yo, like, you're here in South Florida, and you get to see there's this difference between like 70 years old and mobile and 70 years old and bedridden.
Yes.
Same age, but the decisions and choices that they made leading up to that is what got you there. Now, if you can nip it in the bud at 25, you know, have your fun at 18, 19, 20.
Of course.
But by your mid to late 20s, get out of your system. You need to be taking care of yourself. And especially if you've brought a life into this world, they don't deserve to have you, you know what I'm saying, reliant on medications and not at your best because of stupid ass choices that you're making right now, or your lack of your lack of care for yourself. Like, some people are at that point. It's, again, it can be about your physique, but it could also just be about your quality of life. And when I start to see that, like, I can make profound change in someone's life.
Yes.
That is, what else would I want to do?
Life altering change, man. On the topic of people in their elder years, man, like, I always say, you know, I live with my grandparents still. You know, housing market's wonderful in South Florida. And they are, my grandmother is 72. My grandfather's turning 70 next month, here in about 2 weeks. And my grandfather rides his bike every morning about, you know, 13, 15 miles. My grandmother walks and does yoga and some light weights. And you would never know. And they're in such great shape, and cognitively they're there. And, you know, thankfully good genetics plays a role in that. But I've seen the other side of things where people in their 50s and 60s, and you're like, man, this is rough. Like, it, you know, is a little reality check, but you see that you can have a better outcome for later in life, you know?
Yeah. And it's never too late to change.
Never.
It's never too late to change. You know, it, the more you look into like your quality of life and just really decide, like, I had a client this morning, actually, he said it to me. It's just like, it's true, man. Like, if you're not in pain after 40, you're dead. Like, he said that. And I'm like, but you don't have to be. It doesn't have to be like that. It could be, you know, like, I'll be 40, like I said, in September. And I have things that pop and crack that didn't used to, but
not that, know. 40 is old, man. But first off, you look great. For starters,
you,
man, like,
you,
40 is not old by any means, but like, I would have never, I thought you were in your early 30s. Like, I thought you were 32, 33, for real.
Look, I stopped when I turned 39, I stopped coloring my beard. I used to have when I color my beard, you can come 26, 27, I can get away with it. But again, it's because of the choices that I make. And I'm on the extreme end. I'm not gonna lie, I'm on the extreme end. Like, we don't do sweets in this house. We don't have anything like that. So I was juggling with somebody the other day. You say out of sight, out of mind. But for me, it's like out of reach, out of mouth. Because I'll tear up a thing of Oreos. We don't buy Cinnamon Toast Crunch in here because it'll be gone in an afternoon. Point being is that, you know, I take very good care of myself. The only thing I don't do that I need to focus on is sleep well, because you know how our schedules are.
Yes,
sometimes.
Sir.
You know, I have a
got to run off those 4 hours sometimes. I just did it the other day, man.
it happens. And then we're the same ones that are telling our clients, get some rest.
Yes, you know? We are. That's the one. That's the one I you know, am a hypocrite on, I'll admit.
Yeah. Same here. And I was actually saying this on my podcast. Like, I'm a night owl and an early bird. I know I have to be at a gym at the gym at a certain time, but I'll still get up like 2 hours before that just so I can enjoy the serene of life.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. It's like this in South Florida. I'm sure it's like this everywhere. You can feel energy, right? And like when I'm up at 5 a.m., it's just peace. 6, it starts to ramp up. By 8 o'clock, when the assholes are out honking their horns and drinking their coffee and smoking a cigarette, and it's chaos. So it I is. Like that peace. And then I'm my most creative at nighttime. So what's the sacrifice? I can either nap in the afternoon or, you know, sacrifice a little bit of sleep. I always make it up on the weekend. So I know you can't do that, but I enjoy a Sunday morning of like, I'm not doing shit today.
We pretend we can do it on the weekend, right?
it's not how it works.